We are going to look at a message today taken from Isaiah, the 59th chapter in verse 2, where it says, your iniquities have separated you from your God. That's kind of an eye-opening statement there, that we can be separated from God because of our actions. And Isaiah 59, verse 2, and Dick read all three verses, but it says, your iniquities have separated from you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. He cannot look upon sin. He cannot embrace sin. And man's sin, he has hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. That's a scary proposition. I remember as a teenager, this next verse in Romans, where Paul says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's one thing to be talking about, to understand the concept that people's sins separate them from God. We get that. I got that as a teenager, that people's sins are bad. But when Paul says, for all have sinned, that included me. What do you mean? I thought I was okay. I was raised in a household that believed in God. We even prayed to God. But I didn't know much about him. I didn't know him. I sure didn't follow his word. And to realize I'm one of those that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's our purpose, is to glorify God. We're put here, we're created to give him glory. We were talking a little bit in Preston's Bible class this morning about free will. God could have made us robots, and all we'd do is go around praise God all the time. But there's no glory there. By our free will, when we obey him and when we give him glory, that's what honors him. That's what praises him. Three chapters later, in Romans, in Romans 6:23, we see the result, the consequences, the aftermath of this verse. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, we see the result. The wages of sin is death. That's our payment. That's the result. That's what we get for our actions. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sign me up for that one. Sign me up for that. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, everybody's going to have eternal life. The difference is where it's going to be. Is it going to be in Christ Jesus our Lord, or is it going to be in hell? That's the difference. Jesus, the good news, Jesus gives us an out. Not a cheap out. Not a cheap insurance policy that gives us a free out. But he gives us an opportunity to escape those consequences. And Jesus said in Luke 13, 3, he says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That concept of repentance, turning away from the direction we were going. We were on a fast track to destruction. And Jesus says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Paul addresses this idea of repentance and what brings us to repentance in 2 Corinthians. First and Second Corinthians is a wonderful study. If you're wanting to study your Bible and you just don't know where to, after the Gospels, pick First and Second Corinthians. It's a good study. First Corinthians, how you doing, Graham? You doing okay? First Corinthians, Paul kind of spanks them. They get a good old-fashioned whooping verbally with what they've been doing wrong. And he sends another letter straightening things out here. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says, for even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice. Not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. We've talked about this before. The prisons are full of people that are sorry they got caught. Paul gives the contrast here. You weren't made sorry in that way. When you were sorry, it led to repentance, which that is going to lead to salvation. Not the sorrow that the world produces. And that's that repentance that Jesus was talking about. In Acts 2:37, this is a good example of repentance for somebody that's not a Christian. There on the day of Pentecost, Peter was addressing the crowds of thousands. And he's explaining in his gospel message that this Messiah that us Jews have been waiting for, that we have been longing for, he's come. And you killed him. How do you like those apples? And in verse 37, the crowd, it says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? It tore them up. It was an eye-opening sermon, one of those, I'm guilty. I'm one of those that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They cried out, what shall we do? And then Peter responded in verse 38, and he says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a good example for people that weren't Christians yet. I've got sin in my life. What do I need to do? Not that it was a cheap out. It was very costly because it required the death of Jesus as a sacrifice. That cost is very high. But the out for this situation was repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. In Acts 17:30, Paul addressed the idea of repentance. He's in Athens on Mars Hill. And this is the sermon where he's addressing, he's looking around and he's seeing all the temples and idol monuments and the altars to idols. And he's explaining to them, let me tell you about the true God. And in Acts 17:30, Paul will say, truly, these times of ignorance. That's kind of some strong language. That's some strong language there, that your actions are ignorant. These times of ignorance, God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Just like all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, all are being called to repent, to change, to, if you're going this direction, you stop going that direction and you turn around and go the other. It doesn't mean that worldly sorrow, oh, I'm so sorry that I was doing this, but I keep going that same direction. No, you stop and you turn around and quit doing what it is that you've been doing. In Revelation, Jesus talks about repentance. In the letter to the seven churches of Asia, in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, some of the common things that are said by Jesus that John wrote down is that to each of the churches, I know your works. I know your works. I know what you're doing. And some of those things that he knew about was to some of the congregations, he said, you've left your first love. You've quit putting me first. You're going through the motions. You're doing some stuff. It's kind of like walking on a treadmill. You're going through the motions, but you're not getting anywhere. You've left your first love. Excuse me. To some, he's saying, you're following false doctrines. You're not following the teachings that were prescribed for you. Some of you are following pagan practices, worldly principles. To some, he says, you look alive, but you're really not. You're dead as a doornail. You've got an appearance. The sign outside where you meet says it's a church. But you're not alive. You're dead. And then to some, they're saying, you're lukewarm. And we know the result of that. He was going to spew them out of their mouth. But the idea, the result was every one of them, Jesus says, repent. change what you're doing. It's not too late. Hebrews 4:13, the Hebrew writer, gives us another one of those kind of eye-opening scriptures. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. We're going to have to give an account. And we're going to have to answer for those things that we've done. And the answer for that scary proposition is repentance. Now, if you're not a Christian, you've got to become a Christian. Yeah, like Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. But for us that have already been baptized, when I say it's simple, I don't mean easy. I don't mean that it might not take some effort. But the answer is simple. Repent. Quit doing those things that are contrary to God's word. Change. And again, we're going to end up with the passage there in Acts 17:30, where Paul says, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Repentance cannot be overlooked. We cannot be pleasing to God continuing on the path that he did not prescribe. If you're not a Christian, we have the opportunity today to urge you to repent and be baptized. Those of us that are Christians, if there is sin in your life that is separating you from God, the answer is to repent. If it's a private sin between you and God, by all means, repent to God privately. Change. Ask forgiveness. Pray. If it is a public sin that involves others, publicly repent. Whatever your need, if we can be of assistance to you, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing together the invitation song.